Hello, Canada! Hello, United States of America! Greetings to everybody right here in Costa Rica and all over the planet. My name is Kevin J. Johnston. This is the Kevin J. Johnston Show that runs every single Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on www.freedomreport.ca. We have our dear friend Stefanos coming back in here tonight. You're not going to believe what we're going to talk about. Well, you can see it right there on the screen. There is no such thing as authority. That is correct. Bylaw officers have no power. Canada Revenue Agency has no power. My God, everybody, we're going to help you get through, navigate what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. But you'll be happy to know this. We're going to give away cash tonight, everybody. So there's the slide. 50-50 draw tonight. Someone is going to win cash. One of you amazing people is going to take home half the pot. We've already sold 8 tickets so far. Tickets are $10 a piece. Head over to kevinjjohnston.me. That's kevinjjohnston.me to grab your $10 ticket. Buy as many as you like. 10 minutes before showtime, I'm going to draw the winner out. And if you do not want to use your credit card on my website, simply use the email address in the bottom right corner. freedomreport.ca@gmail.com. As for anecdotal tales, I really don't have any, except for the fact that here in Costa Rica last night, for about 6 hours, there was no internet again. So we could not do the real estate show last night, which of course infuriated me. However, what can I do? 900 feet above sea level on the side of a mountain in a small gated neighborhood where the power goes out all of the time. It's bound to happen. We're hoping that the internet stays on for us tonight. There's so much talk right now about Justin Trudeau and his deliberate crashing of the banks in Canada next year. We did a show about that. Was it 2.5, 3 weeks ago with Rob Anders, former friend of Justin Trudeau, and also the a former member of parliament for Calgary, Nose Hill, who's a banking expert. We covered all of that. We're going to have Rob back in 2 weeks to cover the banking issues again, because I think the 2.5 hours that we had Rob on the show, we probably covered 30-40% of what's really going on with the Canadian banking system, everybody. And yes, that is going to be Justin Trudeau trying to bankrupt the country before the election happens. We have the Biden administration trying to shut down the elections this year in the United States. You know damn well that Biden's going to find, well, not Biden, he's not in charge. Kamala Harris and Barack Obama, they're in charge. They're going to find some way to trigger some skirmish with Russia. It'll probably be more proxy wars, just like Ukraine, but they're going to do something to make sure that the elections don't happen. And then Justin Trudeau next year, when the Bank Act expires after 100 years, Trudeau shuts that thing down. The Canadian banks begin to shut down themselves. And there won't be any money left for anybody to do anything, so the election might get canceled. These are all strategies designed to show us that we have the illusion of choice, but then to prove to us simultaneously that we do not. Because in Canada, we do not have elections, we have selections, and it's not good for our democracy, which of course we don't have in Canada. It's not good for society. We've already learned that one. And with a million more people who do not speak English and who hate the Western world moving into Canada in 2024, you can expect carjackings, rapes, and home invasions to skyrocket just like they have in the last 6 months in Canada. By the way, everybody who's watching on TikTok right now, could everybody please share this out to everyone you know? Could everybody on Rumble please hit that like button? It's right here. Let's get that rocking, because the more likes there are, the more that Rumble likes it, and the more often we're going to show up on the homepage of Rumble, especially when we collectively go live as an online family here. So thank you to all of you for continuing to support the show. Grab your 50-50 tickets right now. There's $80 in the pot right now. Let's get as many of those bought as we possibly can, because we need to keep this show going. We want to expand this show, everybody. We're tired of talking in front of bed sheets here, okay? We don't want to do that anymore. We want to expand. So give us a hand. Buy your 50-50 tickets right now on kevinjjohnston.me or email money transfers, freedomreport.ca@gmail.com. Brenda and Gord, you bought tickets last week. We didn't have a draw on Tuesday because our man was sick. Your tickets that you bought last week were moved to tonight. So thank you for your ongoing support. Oh, and I want to say thank you to David Monroe. We haven't seen you before here. Welcome to the show. And thank you for buying tickets. We do appreciate that. So just like that, everybody, just like that, we're at $150, just like that. There's $150 in the pot right now. So I have to go ahead and get those names into the pot for us. Woo! So someone's going to take home $75 and the show is only 10 minutes in. Is that incredible or what? Thank you for the likes, everybody. Let's keep liking. Just rapid fire your fingers on that screen there, please, on TikTok. So let's just jump right into this because I don't think you guys really want to hear me anymore. You want to hear our boy, our dynamite man here, Stefanos Karatopoulos, who is our legal expert, yet did not pass the bar deliberately so that he would not be bound by the rules of the Canadian law societies and all of the provinces going. Stefanos, welcome back, brother. Good to see you. So my first brazen statement is authority is not a real thing. It does not exist. And we're going to dissect that statement throughout the course of the next hour and 50 minutes. So your opening statement, please.
I'm not an legal expert. I just my own opinion going on here. That's all.
So your opinion is worth more than most.
So the there is authority in somewhat, but there is authority that's limited, and there really isn't authority which is believed to be. How's that? That's better.
Okay. Well, unless you believe that authority is a real thing, it's not a real thing. You see, philosophically speaking, and I've cracked this joke before, but I'll crack it again. We're all here for the same reason. Our fathers lied about wearing a condom. They didn't pull out. So we're here. That's it. Okay. So really, that doesn't make anybody special. I've covered this topic many times. Nobody is born special, unless you're Justin Trudeau, in which case you're born really special. He's special, let me tell you. But if we are dealing with authority, where does it come from? Now, some people will argue very weakly, it comes from God. Okay, but if that was the case, then why do police officers break the law all the time without fear of God or reprisals in heaven or hell? Because authority doesn't come from God. Authority comes from the barrel of a gun. So when you put human beings who are not special with low intelligence quotients into body armor and give them guns and then say, march like this, do, 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 and do what you're told and follow orders. By the way, you have authority and you're more important than everybody else in society. They will believe it. But the problem is society also believes that. So the philosophy is kind of self-perpetuating and self-defeating all at the same time. So philosophically speaking, authority does not exist without guns. Your take.
Yeah. And that authority is coming from legislation. So that's the legislative authority that they grant themselves through legislation. So a classic example would be the Ontario Municipal Act. That authority for a municipality, which is a corporation, which is right, recognized as a natural person. So that would be Section 9 in the Municipal Act.
Right.
And they also claim that the Constitution applies to them because they're a natural person. Even though they're not a person, it's a corporation. Is that making sense to you yet, or is it getting confusing?
Okay, so hold on. Wait. Let's define person, all right? Because we have a dictionary. Let's say, for example, it's Oxford Dictionary, which has the definition of person. But then we have Black's Law Dictionary, which is completely deceptive. It's a dictionary specifically for the courts, which rests side by side with the regular normal human being dictionary. And in Black's Law Dictionary, every single word has a different meaning. And that is why the courts have so much power over us, because we don't know what they're talking about. So Stefanos, a person in Oxford Dictionary essentially means a person, human being, who's conscious of themselves, who are either male or female. But person in Black's Law Dictionary means what? Go ahead. Microphone. And Ed's got a point to make.
Go ahead, Ed. I'm choked.
You call me a monster, I'm punching you out.
Monster. Where'd that come from? I have no idea what you're talking about. We're talking about Black's Law Dictionary. What's Monster got to do with it?
Go ahead, Stephanos.
So in Black's Law, they classify it as being a human being considered as capable of having rights and being charged with duties. Okay. While a thing or it is the object to which rights may exist. That's the definition in Black's Law. Now, So when you get a corporation, you know, they're granting themselves, again, through legislation, which is the Municipal Act, declaring themselves a person. And therefore, since they are a person, the Constitution suddenly applies to them, which makes no sense because the Constitution only applies to government, which a municipality is. So,
okay.
You know, I don't have an answer on that one. That's so confusing that it makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I got you. Rusty, thank you for the $5 donation there on Rumble. I greatly appreciate that, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you again. And yes, you can donate on Rumble, everybody. It's certainly a place that you can do so. Now, so person, what you do when you register a corporation, let's say Justin Trudeau is a fag incorporated. All right. That's Inc. And you're going to do business under that corporate name, selling fecal matter stained underwear that's got the pride flag inside. And you make $1,000 every time you do this. 5,000 if you can prove he sniffed them before you put them in the bag. So that corporation is allowed to make money. That corporation is allowed, I suppose, to pay tax. It's allowed to have a bank account, and it's allowed to be sued. And in some cases, even allowed to be charged or indicted, just like a human being is, which means that persons are corporations and human beings combined. Do I have that correct?
You know, might as well. Sounds good.
Fantastic. All right. What's this all about here? We've got the legal definition of a human being is a monster. I have no idea what you're talking about. Go ahead.
It can be a monster because, you know, I don't know where this one's coming from, but probably, I don't know, maybe something made up. But,
hey, Ed, what is this?
A monster can be a human being. Sure, why not? Ed, what is that site?
Ed, you're not even on the screen, dude. Here, I'll put you on the screen. Unmute your mic, please. What is this?
Ballantyne's Law Dictionary from 1930.
Uh-huh.
Monster, human being by birth, but in some part resembling a lower animal. Monster hath no inheritable blood and cannot be heir to any land. Ballantyne's Law Dictionary, 1930.
Ballantyne's Law Dictionary, 1930? So are they talking about the mentally incapacitated here? Like, what are they talking about when they say this?
I don't know, but there's a lot of this stuff that's been floating around, and it's something we got to dig into further.
Well, it's not going to be tonight because I haven't read any of that documentation. I did not even know that there was a Ballantyne's Law Dictionary. I knew about Black's Law Dictionary because I've got version 7, I think it is. And it's terrifying to think that these law dictionaries in Canada, the United States and whatnot, are the language is so different from the Oxford Dictionary that it's a no wonder that they have been able to yank the wool over our eyes for all these years. They have authority because we don't understand them. The average person doesn't get it. How do you argue in court if you haven't memorized their separate dictionary? It's horrendous.
Legalese, and that's why Stephanos is here tonight. Legalese, different language, right?
It's completely different language.
Well, look, and this Ballantyne's Law is something that ran only from 1871 to 1949. It's not used any longer, so it's they'll have old cases. They'll share this stuff out, but those definitions no longer are valid, so they're not used anymore. So we have Black's Law now that's taken over, and I don't know what's it up to, 12th, 13th edition, 14th, something like that. So where we froze up. No, Hey guys, I'm on the show tonight by myself. These guys are sleeping. 20 minutes later. Oh, they're both gone. Yay. Okay, come on. Let's see some hands clapping. Anybody? Everything's dead. No! Oh, you know, this is where I need a whole bunch of freaking caffeine. That's it, caffeine, so I can just rip it off at the mouth there. There we go. So I guess their internet went down. So we can go on a little bit more. I just can't use visual aids like the websites and stuff I'd be referring things to. So here we go. In the Municipal Act, I usually freeze. So in the Municipal Act, what ends up happening, you'll always hear them when they're passing bylaws. And when they do pass these bylaws, they always try to cite sections 9, 10, and 11, one being a single-tier municipality.
All right, everyone, sorry about that, Steph. That's the power failure. Just it flickers for 1 second, and it knocks everything out, and I'm done. I'm done with this guy. This landlord has put together garbage internet for us. I'm fuming angry.
Uh-oh, look, he's stuck again. No!
I'm still up.
What happened to Kevin? Look, it looks like he's trying to go to the bathroom there. He doesn't have a porta potty with him, does he?
I don't know, but he's not happy. I'm up. I'm fine. Yeah, now he's yelling. I think his computer's freezing up now.
You're going to catch
him. Getting really annoyed with this. Anyways, let's keep going with the definitions. I'm sure he'll be back soon.
Yeah, so, that's a good one. So, getting back to what Kevin said about being incorporated. So, they're corporations. And a great example of this was last night with Maggie Braun in the City of Thorold meeting, this United Nations NGO, these eco-terrorists trying to push all this crap on us and get the City of Thorold into ICLEI to be by a membership, which, by the way, Canadian Federation of Municipalities is ICLEI. That's because people found out what they were, part of the UN and destroying Canada. So this is why they changed it to the Canadian Federation of Municipalities to hide, because too many people caught on and they were making all their municipalities rescind their memberships. And in this membership, when they were talking last night, they brought up a key thing saying that if they were to get on there and they were members and they were pushing all their crap, anything that happened or anything, the municipality's on the hook for everything. Not right. The NGOs or the UN or anything. So that should stick the fear of God into every freaking municipal councillor out there that's elected right now, or mayor, or any other one all over Canada, because that liability comes on to you from any harm. Now, corporations are there to provide you that protection from that liability, unless, of course, there's negligence involved, which is called piercing the corporate veil, which means you will now be sued personally along with the municipality. Kevin, you try to say something, but I think your mic's muted.
No, I'm good. I'm listening to what you got to say, because I'm just upset naturally that the internet went out twice there. And I had a pathway that I was going to lead people down tonight. So I will apologize to everybody who's watching. This is unfortunately beyond my control, but I am dealing with this by just getting the hell out of here. I'm done with this nonsense. So let's really cover this. We have in Canada this word called persons. So we are persons. Human beings are persons. They expect us to cooperate with them being the government. They want us to cooperate. They want us to work hard and give them our money in the way of taxes, give us very little in return for them, and still be policed by their ridiculous rules and their ridiculous laws, all of which are designed to hold us down and hold us back. So we have Canadians, as of April 1st, Canadians as persons are going to be losing almost 72% of all of their earnings in taxes now that this new carbon tax is coming out. And corporations, well, they're losing as well because human beings run those corporations. And when human beings are out of money and can't afford rent and whatnot, well, those corporations are going to suffer because no one's going to be around to run them. Therein lies the problem. So now we also in Canada have persons, which are cities, towns, villages, hamlets. They are known as persons, which are corporations designed for profit, although they say that they're not. They are designed specifically for profit. City councillors and mayors, their jobs are actually not to serve you. Their jobs are to make money for the corporation, to make money for the city, which they would do if they had business acumen and knew what they were doing. But they don't know what they're doing. So what they do is they waste a ton of money on stupid contracts because they don't know how to negotiate and just raise taxes to make up the shortfall because of their own incompetence. So let's say, for example, this. Donald Trump, he got into office and he ran the United States of America like a business. That's what he did. He pulled America out of all the wars, which were pointless. They weren't making America any money. American taxpayers were dying around the world, so he stopped that from happening. Mayors, Giuliani, he ran New York City like a business. So I lived there in 96, and I can tell you it was a friggin' war zone. But when he took that thing over, I went back in the year 2001. I was floored. It was cleaner than Toronto. And it was making money, hand over fist. Everybody in New York was making money when Giuliani was in charge. Why? He's a businessman. He knows what money is. He knows how people function. He knew how to run a city. Now, how many cities can we think of in North America that are being run as well as Giuliani ran New York? And I can't think of a single solitary one. Almost every city in the United States, especially those in Democrat states, they're all going bankrupt. Their sewer systems aren't even working. So we have a problem here. Cities need to be run like businesses. You have good sewer systems. You got good water. You've got good electrical plans. Your roads make sense. Your roads are repaired at all times. You want to make sure that your traffic lights make sense, that traffic flow works well. You invite businesses into your city. You don't chase them out with taxes. When businesses actually arrive, you don't stop them from opening up with all your ridiculous rules and bylaws. You leave them alone and let them make money. Then you build houses and condominiums and you give those people good customer service so they stay. And you keep making money on that. But nobody in Canada or the United States knows how to run cities like that. They don't view themselves as customer service agents. They view themselves as people making a salary, and that's about it.
Well, how do you explain the fact that the ArriveCan app went out for tender back in 2017, 2018, and that contract was awarded in 2018 before there was any Chinese actors frothing at the mouth and falling to the ground before COVID started?
Mm-hmm. Because that was all cooked up in 2010 in the Rockefeller papers.
So you want to talk about making money? Looks like you got to be a Rockefeller or read that book and get in on some government gravy.
Let me give you, actually, Kevin, you brought up a good point. Donald Trump, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, they're all libertarians. Libertarians believe in keeping our military at home to defend our home in case there's an invasion or a war. We have no business going around the world trying to police the world and giving all of our money to all these other freaking countries. Makes no sense. Now, the other thing back on this person stuff is, here's a good example. So earlier on when I read the meaning from Black's Law of person now, here's the 8th edition Black's Law, and you're not going to be able to see this, but person in here, where is it?
Somewhere right there. Read it verbatim. Let me hear it.
A very simple definition of it. A human being, also termed natural person. That's what a person was in the 8th edition, and now it's transformed into having charge of duties and all this other stuff. So this is how the law and the definitions in law evolve over time.
Okay, now is evolve the right word, or is it altered for control? That's the question I have.
Evolve is the proper term. You know, it's evolving because as legislation and laws evolve, definitions evolve right along with them. So you hear people when they speak about common law, you know, people have no freaking clue what common law is, what it means, or anything else. And unfortunately, that's a term that's thrown around too much. And this is why I always make a point of asking them, what is common law? They have no clue. But the problem with common law is it's not a problem. It evolves. So common law evolves as society evolves. And where you get an easy explanation would be this. If the common law was to cut somebody's hands off for stealing, as society evolves and we get more civilized instead of being so savage, the laws evolve. So we're not going to cut your hands off anymore for stealing. We're going to give you probation or a month in jail, say. That becomes the common law because that is the common thing to do. So this is where common law is changed by the stroke of a pen in a ruling. And that's how the laws change and evolve as society evolves.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, everybody who's watching on Instagram right now, keep in mind that Instagram always cuts off live presentations after exactly 60 minutes. No clue why, because I used to actually be able to go 9-10 hours straight on Instagram, which I've done. You guys remember those transmissions. So if you're watching on Instagram right now, type in freedomreport.ca in your browser and watch us here on the Rumble channel. That's because freedomreport.ca will take you directly to Rumble. And I want to say thank you, Brenda, for buying two more tickets. So we've now got $170. $170 is the prize money so far. We're going to split that 50-50, everybody. So someone's taking home, how much is that? $80? 85. 85. Someone's going to win $85 tonight so far. So up there, 50-50 draw. Down there, you can buy it on kevinjjohnston.me. And over there in the corner, you can use email money transfers, freedomreport.ca at gmail.com. Yes, everybody, we need Starlink. Would anybody out there like to advertise their business on every single show? Get a Starlink. That way I can carry my internet with me in a briefcase everywhere I go, stick it on the top of a car and have internet. Yes. Who wants to be the one to volunteer to buy us Starlink? We would love to have it. Believe that. All right. So Stephanos, moving on there. You've got municipalities. They are persons. And unfortunately, what it appears here, that we have these cities and regions in Canada who are somehow allowed to open up courthouses within their own borders and run them as municipal courthouses and then give people tickets within the city. And the only place you can fight them is in the courthouse owned by the city, which means you automatically lose. And I know this. I've been through that before in my hometown, the city of Mississauga. And Payman Madavi, thank you very much for buying a ticket. We're now up to $190 pot tonight. Isn't that amazing? $190. Thank you. Thank you for that. So Stephanos, these courthouses that are owned by municipalities where the prosecutors, they're not lawyers, they're just city staff. How is this legal? Go ahead.
Okay, I need a little bit of clarification there. You're talking courthouses. So municipalities don't own the courthouses. They're the province that owns them. And it again, provincial offenses, I've said it before and I'll say it again, in my opinion, are unconstitutional. The provincial offenses courts, because you're viewed as being guilty before being innocent. And the onus is on you as the accused, 100% on you to prove that you are innocent and not guilty, where the Canadian Constitution states that we are to be viewed as innocent until proven guilty. And it has to be beyond reasonable doubt. So there's a big problem with the provincial offenses. And now what I think that you're alluding to is AMPS, Administrative Monetary Penalty System.
Well, that's kind of it. But here, I just want to give the example. In my hometown, the city of Mississauga, everyone knows I ran for mayor in that city and I placed second, which interfered with some of the money that the mayor, Bonnie Crombie, was going to be getting her hands on. I interfered with probably the better part of $2.5 to $3 million of her money. So she in turn spends $2 million of taxpayers' money to hurt me. She has me brought up on municipal fines for my election signs being on city property. So this was argued in a city-owned courthouse, and the prosecutor just was some loser chick, and I humiliated her publicly, by the way, some loser chick named Marcy something Darcy, Marie Darcy, I can't remember. I've got it somewhere on my hard drive here. But she did not want to prosecute me. So what the city did is they hired a private lawyer to ask questions of me, actually, sorry, of three bylaw officers and the city, what do you call those guys? Was the guys who stake land? What are they called?
Surveyor. The land stakers?
Surveyors. Surveyor. The city surveyor. And this idiot, he comes in there and admits in court that as a city surveyor, he's not allowed to give absolutes on anything. So if you say you want your backyard measured, he's not absolutely allowed to say that your backyard is 26 by 15, but he can't do that. He's only allowed to give estimations. So I said, now, how many times have your estimations been incorrect? He says, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, you're going to have to give me a number here, because if you're just guessing, which is what you said, sir, then you're guessing that my signs that you say were mine would be on city property. So how can you be definitively sure if you're not allowed to be definitively sure? Please go ahead. Go ahead.
So they have all these types of protections in place for these types of things. Now, if he was lying or not, I'm not sure. I do know that when you use GPS surveyors, they're accurate within an inch. So I don't know what they're talking about guesstimating. That's probably he never done his job, got paid for it, and then said that. So he technically is lying, but really isn't lying. I think that's
right.
Okay.
So what it boiled down to, though, is under oath, this guy states that surveyors are not allowed to put down definitive numbers or definitive answers. So every survey in Mississauga that this guy has been involved with from the day that he started the whole bit, actually, you know what? I've got his face somewhere around here. I know
let's ignore him for right now for his face and crap. Let's just ignore that garbage right now and just
But I want to get at the fact that that's what we're talking about here. So this guy who has the authority to stamp anyone's drawings for where your properties begin and end and where city property begins and ends is actually not allowed by the city to definitively state that the stamp that he puts down is official. Now, is that strange or what? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's got to be official. This is why when you get an actual survey done, it gets the seal on it, because it is official at that point. Now, all surveys of all municipalities from the date of patent when all these cities were created and stuff, I believe they all started from the west side everywhere across Canada. So they started from the west side and moved across up and down. This is how they made all the lots when they created these municipalities. And they just continue to go. So maybe they're saying they're not accurate because maybe the original marker, because back then they used to use a rock or a tree, and maybe that tree is no longer there. So this is why they have to resurvey. So it might not be accurate. You know, they might have moved here and there. This is probably why they say that. But if your signs were on city property, you're allowed to. As a matter of fact, it's allowed. There's been several municipalities that try to say that you cannot put election signs on municipal property, on city property. Those ended up being challenged and found to be unconstitutional. So those places that still have those bylaws in, put pressure on your municipality to take them off. And if they won't, take them to court. Constitutional challenge right then and there and nail them. That's the only language we understand is this.
This is the guy here, by the way, everybody. This little ape is about 5'4", and he was crying and whining and complaining because I kept looking at him. Like, I just sat there looking at him, not with the mean face, just this dead face. And everywhere he went, I would follow him with my eyes like this. And he told the police that I was stalking him. I said, gentlemen, how do you stalk somebody in a courthouse? By the way, gentlemen, you've seen me sit in this seat the whole time, right? This guy here. And also what he did do is he put his home address and his phone number in as evidence. So I don't know why the hell he did that. I've got his resume on file somewhere. I'm not going to dox him because that's illegal. But if I was to make it a legal notification, then I can, right? So, but let's not talk about that. I just want to get at the fact this guy sat in the court. I questioned him for 2.5 hours, this guy. He was almost ready to cry. And under oath, he does not have the ability to sign off on anything. Then the bylaw officers, they said that they had a whole bunch of photographs of my signs. And I questioned all three of these guys. I said, look, just talk to me here. These signs got put up by who? I don't know. So you mean you didn't see anybody put these signs up that you're complaining about? No. Did you ever see me put a sign anywhere? No. Well, then why are we here? Why am I being accused of putting a sign on city property? First off, the surveyor can't even tell us that it is city property. He has no idea. And you didn't see anyone do it. So tell me something. Is this fraud you're trying to commit? Like, and the JP wasn't really all that smart. He actually should have said, Mr. Johnston, please tone it down. He didn't. A very inexperienced guy. And I found out that he lived in Mississauga and was good friends with Bonnie Crombie. Of course he was. So the whole thing was a ruse. And at the end of it all, they said that I owed the city $75,000 in fines. Like that was ever going to happen. Like I was going to open up my purse strings and say, oh, some justice of the peace loser in a green sash wearing a faggot black dress is going to tell me I've got to give someone $75,000. Are you out of your mind? That was it.
Well, I wouldn't call the judge that. The judge is just,
he wasn't a judge. He wasn't a judge. He was a justice of the peace who obviously was there for a specific reason. He would not let me win. I made perfect arguments. He behaved himself like a complete ass, is what he did. Go ahead.
I wouldn't put the total blame on the JP. Unfortunately, in Ontario, justice of the peace are not required to have any sort of legal background at all. And as a matter of fact, at one point in time, out of 14 of them, I think something like 8 or something, never had a legal background. And the problem with provincial offenses, which I've already said, you know, my opinion is those are unconstitutional because how they view you, but they don't have a legal background. They're not required to have a legal background, and they're actually supposed to take direction from the Crown, from the prosecutor. So when you have a prosecutor that's prosecuting you and the judge who is judging you, or the JP who's judging you, has to take direction from the prosecutor, there's a problem. There's a problem that whole... This is why I do not like the provincial offenses at all. To me, that needs to be fixed. It has to be changed so they are constitutional and they operate correctly as being viewed as innocent. And it's up to the accusers to prove you as being guilty. So this is a huge problem that you bring that up. That's a giant problem.
It's a huge problem because the way that it worked is, let's face facts here. I won the Mississauga mayor race of 2018. Bonnie said she did because of election fraud. Remember, they shut down about 1/3 of all the polling stations were shut down. Power failures, conveniently. Power failures. No signs to indicate where the voting was taking place either. So what I want to get at here is they rigged the election. And then because I cost Bonnie Crombie so much money with everything I had exposed her on, she comes forward with this. And one of the emails that were entered into evidence is that Bonnie Crombie said, go get them. About me, specifically about me. Go get them. So obviously it was a witch hunt and there was no way for me to win that whole thing. So like, let me ask you this question. With this municipality summoning me to this court that the city owned, what would have happened if I just didn't show up? Go ahead.
They would have issued a bench warrant for you at that point and then pick you up somewhere when they'd find you driving or something. They would have picked you up. But in your case, the way I would have went about it is I would have brought a constitutional challenge immediately. I wouldn't have even let them get to where they got and get it out of that realm, get it out of the provincial offenses court and into a real court and real law, which would be the superior court under the Constitution. And that Constitution are the checks and balances that prevent a government from becoming tyrannical And this is actually exactly what you came across, a tyrannical government being on the municipal level. And that would have stopped them there, because there's no way they would have found you guilty in any way, shape, or form. And you would have ended up taking probably about $150,000 off of them. So that's... Okay. Yeah,
well, I could still, though, file the constitutional challenge today on those fines, could I not? Considering the fact that it was done by Bonnie Crombie, the mayor at the time, within the city, in a city-owned courthouse, with a city staff member presiding over the case.
I don't know, Kevin. That I wouldn't be sure. I've never had to do something like that. So... I know during the case is where it should have been brought up. After there's a decision, I'm not sure, possibly. I don't know. We'd have to speak to a lawyer on that who does that stuff and see. There may very well be a way to do that. Maybe just bring a constitutional question even. I don't know. But a constitutional challenge or something along those lines.
All right. Good to know. So let's now move on here to the municipal bylaw officer in Canada. Now, we're not talking about bylaw officers in the United States, everybody, because I know that the rules are very, very different there. But you've got, let's call them what they are. You've got losers. These are people that would never pass the psychological examination to actually become police officers. They just wouldn't. So what happens here is the municipalities understand that if they have some way to intimidate people, then they can make some free money. So what they have is bylaw officers. I despise that term, who are constantly behaving like the Gestapo, like Soviet soldiers that were part of Stalin's groups, whatnot. But what they've been told they have authority, but they really don't. So here's an example that I love this example. During COVID, I went and skated. Like it was wintertime. There's a marsh. And here we go. There's a marsh they set up in my hometown of Mississauga, specifically so that there would be storm drainage, and they were going to use that water in case of fire. So the firemen could just throw their pumps in and just suck water out of that thing, be good to go. It's about 2 feet deep. That's all. And it froze. Perfect skating rink. The bylaw officers come out and tell you that you have to get off the ice. Why? Because they want you going to the arenas and spending $5 to get on the ice there. That's what they want. They don't want people having fun outside. They want you spending money. I, of course, told the bylaw officers, no, I'm good. Thank you very much. And I was talking at length about the fact that I'm not going to wear a mask during this fake COVID pandemic to appease anyone who's skating on about 40 acres of ice. I'm just not going to do it. So then what happened is the corporate security guys show up. Now, in my hometown of Mississauga, they've got what's called corporate security. These guys are dressed up like cops. They've got body armor and pepper spray and flashlights. They actually look like cops. And they have cars that are better than the police cars. But they're losers and they have no authority. This guy comes out and he goes to hand me a piece of paper. I said, what's on that piece of paper? Well, you're being banned from this marsh for 30 days. I said, tell you what, you can shove it. I don't want it. All right. And I put my hands up like this and I stepped back. And if this idiot knew anything about serving court papers, he would have just said, okay, here you go, and put it down on the ground in front of me. But he didn't. He said, okay, fine. And he puts it in his pocket. So I wasn't served. Right. But it was actually a letter. He read it to me, stating that I was banned from a marsh for 30 days because I wouldn't wear a mask on the ice.
Wow. So you cannot be banned for 30 days from public property. This is set in stone in constitutional case law. When you are trespassed from a property, public property, that is only allowed to be 24 hours, no longer. There's my friend Fred Bracken, we've spoke about him before here. The region of Niagara here tried to ban him for like a year from all public property, which is unconstitutional. And for the very fact that Fred wouldn't be able to step out of his house and onto the sidewalk, it's public property. So That's one of them. And the other one was the time period that they cannot do it. It's 24 hours. So, and that's the bottom line. So talk about the abuse. Bylaw officers are also known as peace officers, and they are to take the same oath and be sworn in like police do. The exact same oath. There's no difference. There was a very prominent lawyer who's a very good friend of mine. Unfortunately, he doesn't practice anymore, but he was blind, and he's actually the lawyer who set the precedent for the handicap ramps and at stores and everything. So he used to win several cases in municipal hearings, provincial offenses, because we would always ask for the oath, certification of being sworn in under oath, and they would never have that. So they're not even sworn in. They cannot be a bylaw officer, and those charges need to be thrown out. This is why they don't know what they're doing. They don't know their authority. They overstep it all the time. And they believe that they actually have more powers than police officers do when they don't.
Yeah, it's strange, man. They really are out there. And I'll refresh the memory of all bylaw officers in Canada right now. You people are losers. You're losers. You do not have authority of any particular kind, period. You can police city property, and Stefanos, they can ban you for 24 hours, but that's it. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes, and 24 hours.
So they're not allowed to pass bylaws on private property. And again, under the spheres of jurisdiction in the Ontario Municipal Act, it's very clear to that. And they talk to about in that act, they can only pass bylaws on its properties, its bylaws on its properties. So private property is not it's not theirs. So this is the where they've bastardized, I guess you could say, for use of a lack of a better term, but your private property is not their private property. So those all rights, title, and interest from private property was removed when the Crown Land Patent Grant was granted to a private person by the monarchy. So this is all land in Canada, period. As long as it's private property has been granted from the monarchy, Queen Elizabeth, everybody. Like I showed you at the previous show, I have a patent from Queen Elizabeth. So it removes any interest that a municipality may have had while it was Crown land before it was passed to a private property owner or to a private person, whatever you want to call it. So this is what happens. And tell a bud there, parking tickets, well, unfortunately, you got to pay them because those are public property. So it's the wherever the municipality is that you got them, that's where they go to. And many of them, at least in Ontario, I'm not sure about the rest of Canada, but in Ontario, they brought in AMPS, the administrative monetary penalty system. When you get those types of tickets, you cannot take them to court and challenge them. You can only have a hearing from the municipality that gave it to you, and they can only reduce the amount. And they done this because of the fact that they're trying to get the province to give them less money. Before, they used to get the tickets before AMPS came in, and whatever they would collect from tickets, half would go to the province, half the municipality would keep. But now when they brought in the AMPS system, it's changed it around. So it now the municipality keeps 100% of those tickets. So this is why they very rarely even reduce it. They'll just say, no, you got to pay it. And if you don't, they'll tack it on your property tax, suspend your license, do whatever in order to force you. And you know, this is how people lose their homes too. Now, I guess Ed and Kevin went goodbye again. Hey, there you are. Just Kevin gone?
Yeah, he'll be back in a minute. We're back up again. This internet is just maddening. What can I say? Unmute your mic. I'm going to change your mic settings.
All right. Why? What's wrong with him?
Well, we're getting...
People are saying echoing. I tested my mic. It was coming from you who was getting the echoes when Kevin would talk and stuff. It wasn't from me.
No, it was coming from Kevin anyways. It's fixed now.
All right. So, yeah, but, it's pretty interesting how this stuff comes along. And again, you know, you have single tier and then you have dual tier. So Section 10, right, of the Municipal Act here is the single tier municipality. And it's always said that's so here. On a single tier, it's a single tier municipality may provide any service or thing that a municipality considers necessary or desirable for the public. It's not on private property. It's for the public, on public property. That's what it comes down to. And again, bylaws under subsection 2 of that, number 2, it says accountability and transparency of the municipality operations as local boards for their operations. So again, public property, not private. Number 3, financial management of the municipality and its local boards. Those local boards are to them. Number 4, public assets of a municipality acquired for the purpose of exercising its authority under this or any other act. So they must own the property in order to be passing any bylaws. They cannot pass bylaws on private property. And a real good example of this was in the case we had with the dog tags. And we kept telling them, show us where your authority is from the Municipal Act that you have the authority to charge a license fee on private property for a dog tag. Yeah.
1 second, Stephanos. All right, you've only got 2 minutes left on Instagram. If you're watching live on Instagram, the feed is going to get cut. Come here to freedomreport.ca. Everybody on Instagram, go right here to freedomreport.ca and watch the rest of the show there. It's going to cut you off in less than a minute. So we apologize. I had nothing to do with their policy. Getting back to it here, Stephanos, we'll say it this way.
Hang on. Freedom Report is one word, .ca. There's no space between freedom and report.
Do people not know that? I guess they don't, because people put spaces in ice. Freedom Report, one word, okay? There you go, freedomreport.ca. Yes, and I am aggravated that we've had, 3 droppings out now of the internet so far, plus half the day with no internet. Yeah. Getting back to what you said there, dog tags. You do not have to have a dog license to have a dog on your property or inside your car, but you would have to have a dog license to have your dog run around in a park.
In a park or on the sidewalk. Yep.
Okay.
So, and Deborah Bailey, you're absolutely correct. By law, the municipality has no authority to charge you a fee of $500 to have chickens on your property. As long as your chickens are on your property, they can't charge you a fee. So that is them way overstepping. And the act is clear. It's is a very key word. They don't own your property. It's not theirs. So it's does not apply to your property.
Okay. How about the trees? I've got a tree that's diseased, sick, and I've twice gone to the city asking them, I'd like permission to cut this down. They keep saying, no, it's fine. Leave it.
You don't
need. What if I cut it down? They say they're going to fine me.
So when I first ran in provincial elections, God, I think it was back in 2013 and around there, City of St. Catharines had a stupid UN NGO because they are a member of ICLEI, and they tried to bring a tree cutting bylaw on private property. It was taken to court twice. The city lost twice. The third time they attempted to do it is when I ran for office I showed up there with a couple of members of the Landowner Association, the Niagara chapter, and we took all their round tables they had. We threw the tables out of the way, lined up all the chairs together so they can't separate people. And we made them do the presentation. I handed out papers on tree cutting bylaws and what these NGOs do. And that meeting ended in about 10 minutes and they did not proceed with it. Now, two municipal elections ago, the bunch of Antifa and communists got in. They pushed, they passed all these bylaws. Nobody resisted, which they should have, but they didn't. But St. Catharines did not pass that bylaw because they had already been through the rigmarole a whole bunch of times previous and no, they cannot do it. And they just simply said there's no interest by the public. So they cannot do it. Those are all illegal.
All right. So to recap what you said there, I've got a tree on my lawn. The city of Toronto says you can't cut trees down because we say so. And you cut the tree down and then they show up and they give you a fine. Obviously, that is something you would win in court. Is that correct?
Yes. But here's the key. Very extremely important here. Do not go and cut it and they get charged and end up with a provincial offense because now you're guilty. So remember, this is why all municipal crap is all provincial offenses, because they're putting you into an unconstitutional system and you get charged, you're in trouble because the onus is 100% on you to prove you're innocent, because you're guilty to them until proven innocent. Now, the correct thing to do is take that bylaw, take the city to court, put the shoe on the other foot to the Superior Court, and challenge that bylaw and ask, where is your authority on private property to do this?
So walk us through the process, because I got to do this in Markham.
Yeah, you're going to have to take this bylaw, the city to court. And this is the other bull crap they say. When they pass a bylaw and they say, well, you got 30 days to object or else you can't do anything. That's BS. That's lying. And because a lot of people don't even know about when these bylaws get passed because nobody pays attention. Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, you can't challenge him because those 30 days pass and that it is, and you didn't act. So it is implied consent. There is no such thing in the courts. And the courts have been, you know, decisive in this. There's no such thing as implied consent. So those bylaws can be challenged at any time, especially when they're tree cutting bylaws on private property, which they do not have the authority to do.
Good to know.
So where do I start? Where do we start? Like, we got to start chipping away at this. So yeah, where do we start?
You have to start first by getting yourself a lawyer. Take the city to court, challenge them on that bylaw being invalid. It's ultra vires. It's without effect because it is interfering with your property and they don't have that authority to pass this type of bylaw on private property. Only its property. So only public property, not private property. So that's where you'd start. Of course, you would get the case law and it would be the case law from St. Catharines getting their butt spanked a couple of times for trying it, and they learned their lesson eventually. And so the crap out of them too for negligence, because they would have known this. But our problem is our mayor and council listen to staff, and staff tells them what to do. And in a lot of cases, you can't blame mayor and council, even though you should, because they don't read their guidebooks that they're supposed to know, learn, and understand. And they listen to staff, and when they say no to staff, staff threatens them with taking them to court and suing them if they don't do what they tell them. So they get scared. It is the elected and the people that control the municipality, not staff. Staff is just there. If they're trying to come up with a bylaw and you don't understand it and you need more information, this is why you hear at meetings they say refer it back to staff. They refer it to staff so staff can go get more information for you and bring it to you, and you have to read it. So this is what's going on in the municipalities and why councillors and mayors are negligent, because they didn't do their due diligence. They've never read the Municipal Act itself. And I have a damn example of that. I'll let you guys say something if you want before I go to the example.
No, aside from just to maybe recap what you've said here for everybody who's watching on TikTok who can't see you, is we're talking tonight, everybody, about municipal bylaws and about the fact that there are select authority in Canada that we think have power but actually don't. So bylaw officers do not have the ability to, let's say, trespass on your land. Once you tell them to leave, they have to go. This is something that I've learned in the city of Mississauga when I lived there. I told bylaw officers, get out of here. And there was a place that I was renting for a short while in the northwest of Calgary where there's bylaw officer just going door to door. We don't even know what they wanted, but they're ringing everyone's doorbell and flashing their stupid cards. They show up in this big truck. It looks like a police, like a paddy wagon. And bylaw officers do not have the authority to pick you up and lock you in the back of a truck. That's kidnapping, assault causing bodily harm. They just don't have that power. Why are they driving trucks like that in the city of Calgary when they don't have the authority to touch you? But they're knocking on everyone's door. And I happen to have my Halloween mask at the time. It's a beautiful one. It's something called Gordy, like, you know, as a gourd pumpkin. I think the picture's on my Instagram page. It's a pumpkin with big teeth like this on it. So I opened the door up. I said, "Hey, figure!" right to the top of my lungs and locked the door. And the two of them were looking at each other. They have no idea what they just experienced there. And you can see they're on their radios like, you know, some guy in a pumpkin costume just said F off. Well, what do we do? And eventually they had to leave. They don't have authority. You're right. So they wouldn't have been able to tell me to cut my grass or rake my leaves or take off the Halloween mask or stop barking at the moon, which maybe sometimes I do. Yeah. They can't do it. So Kevin, go ahead.
Here's a great example of what you just said about your grass. It's a corporation. So can Canadian Tire come over and say, hey, you got to wear green shoes when you cut your lawn because it's got to match the grass. But they're a corporation and it's not their property. So Canadian Tire should be able to come by and tell you what to do if you liken that to a municipality, because it's the same thing. And yeah, let's get on that, not this person stuff again. Just let me tell you the example of how mayor and council are negligent.
Yeah, do it.
So in Lambton Shores, there was a situation that arose, and I gave the senior couple what to tell the municipality, because they had a home that was from the 1800s that it was built, and they wanted to build a new house. So the city of Lambton Shores passed a bylaw saying that if a sewer pipes run across the front of your house, you have to connect to them. So they allowed them to build a new house. And of course, it was connected to the sewers. There was no problem there. But then they came up with this crazy, crazy demand that the old house from the 1800s that has a perfectly good septic system on it, in perfect operating condition, they wanted them to connect to the sewers also, trying to cite that bylaw. Now, that house is about a half a kilometer away, so that would be at the cost of the seniors to run the sewage pipe from that house up to the road, and right. Then from that little tiny strip to connect to the sewer pipe of the municipalities, the municipality would foot the cost. So you're looking at potential million, hundreds of thousands of dollars versus maybe $6,000-$7,000. But the other thing is bylaws are not retroactive. So this is what's called legal non-conforming. So if you have a deck already and then they say you can't build decks, well, if bylaws were retroactive, could you imagine the mayhem? All these homes with decks would have to demolish their decks and everything, and it would cost big bucks. It'd be crazy. So they're not retroactive. So they're called legal non-conforming. They cannot be forced to do anything that a new bylaw does because the existing is there. So when they read this out to them, councillors did not even know that bylaws were not retroactive. They didn't even know they were legal non-conforming. How the hell is this possible? Because they listened to staff and the idiot planner. who actually tried to charge them development charges a second time when the development charges were already paid for when that new house was built. So there's your insanity, there's your negligence, and these people do not even read their own municipal act.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I agree. This is exactly what these people are doing here. So I'll recap that, is that city councils, people, like, new elections happen all the time. So city councilors get in there, the mayor gets into the seats within any city in Canada. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't know the law. They don't know what bylaws are. And they're being told by people who have been working for the city longer than they have been councilors, here's the law. Now, and realistically speaking, if you want to know what the law is, you don't ask a bylaw officer. They're retards, all of them. You don't ask a cop either. They're not that smart. The cops don't know law. They get, what, 2 weeks of training in law? And the rest of it's training in how, it's not even that, is it? Is it like, what, 4 hours?
They get no training in law. They just really? Get training in law enforcement. They're goons, and they're expected to act like goons and be state enforcers. That's it.
That's it. So no training in law, which, you know, that does make sense, because when you ask cops about anything, they don't seem to know anything that's going on. Period. And lawyers crush them all the time because lawyers know the law. So don't ask the cops what the law is. They're morons. Yes, Ed.
When I dropped off Chris Sky for one of his charges, COVID charges, I was talking to the cops outside the station, and I think I was talking to the sergeant. I said, do cops know anything about the law? And the guy's taken him back. He says, actually, I'm a senior officer, and when I'm training our guys, we've got a stack of books about this thick. But so he's saying about 8 inches, and we go through all of this. So, yes, they know the law. He says, well, how can they do so many stupid things and make so many wrong charges and mess themselves up all the time and set themselves up for lawsuits if they actually knew the law?
He's just flat out lying to you. He's being dishonest, because if you remember that video we played of myself at the Catholic school board, where I purposely targeted a senior officer, a sergeant, because they're supposed to know a little bit at least. And he flat out told me, no, I don't know anything about law. I don't know anything about law. And he flat out admitted it. We played it on the show before.
Are you saying another cop lied to me?
Yeah, but that's nothing new. He was probably just trying to make you believe something that wasn't true because he didn't want to argue with you or something.
So because I'm bigger than him, it's the old bullshit baffles brains kind of thing going on here, or what?
He was trying to figure out if you're all brawn and no brain. That's what it was.
So what you're saying is don't trust the police because they lie all the time.
You can't trust the police, and they've been trained to lie, as a matter of fact, so they can coax, you know, we've seen this happen in lawsuits that have happened where they've coaxed admissions out of people, statements saying that they've done things when they never done them. It was just there was so much pressure on them and everything. They just wanted to end. So they just lied and said, yes, I've done it.
Yeah, just because cops, they're irritating human beings. Cops, like, before they become cops, they were probably already irritating human beings. Then they're taught to be even more irritating, so that people say, like, fine, I did it. Just shut up. Leave me alone. And no one ever considers the fact that you should just exercise your right to say, lawyer, please. And that's it. Stop talking. That's it. Just lawyer.
Just remember one simple line. They're not your friends, period.
Well, no, next time I get into an altercation with a cop, but maybe I'll say, by the way, you do have the right to tell the truth. You don't have to lie about everything. Hey, start calling them on their shit.
You can read them their rights. Just alter them a little bit about them having to say the truth.
But there's nothing in law that says you got to tell the truth, is there?
No, the law says they can actually lie. They're allowed to lie. Cops are allowed to lie to get information out of you.
Yeah, and remember, there's no law in Canada that states that you have to cooperate with police. But there is a law that says you absolutely do not cooperate with police.
Really? So why do we even have, if we have to write a law like that, why do we even have police? Considering the fact that the Toronto police also made the biggest blunder ever, coming out telling you, and get this, everybody, Toronto police, instead of doing their jobs and policing the streets and keeping people who pay their salaries safe, they come out and they say, there are a lot of African illegal aliens stealing cars. When they kick in your door, make sure that your keys for your car and your fobs are at the front door, because give your car away to some piece of crap from Africa who doesn't belong here, doesn't belong around decent human beings and can't speak English. Give it to them. That's what they said. That's their solution to the crime that's going on.
That would be aiding and abetting in a crime. That's how I look at that. That is aiding and abetting in a crime.
Man, oh man. What would you do, Stefanos, if some guy was kicking in your door trying to get the keys for your car?
I'd sit there with a bat on the other side and club him. And if he was armed and I was armed, I'd use whatever weapon I could as defending myself. Even though the criminal code is clear on that, that you can use deadly force if need be. Remember in Harper's time, Harper told the police to stop charging people with murder when that was the case, but they wouldn't do it. And now we have Trudeau, who is saying charge him no matter what, and then he'll spend millions to attempt to convict you on top of it and make your life a living hell. And we've seen him try so hard with propaganda and everything else when these have arisen, and the people end up being found not guilty, because the law is the law and the police don't know it. They should be respecting and abiding by it. And if I was any of these people who were jailed for murder for something that wasn't illegal, I would be suing the piss out of the police. That's all I know.
So the trick is to, after you say defend yourself, to put a gun in his hands.
No. Now you would be counseling to a crime. You don't want to do that. You would never put a gun in their head. If they were armed and it was a legit thing and you were faced with your life, you have every God-given right to defend your life and protect your life from somebody who's trying to take that life.
All right, I just got to do a quick thing here, boys, if you don't mind. Don't forget, everybody, we are giving away some cold hard cash tonight. That's right. So far, we have $180 in the pot. Someone's going to win half of that so far. And let's get that. If we get the pot up to $500 tonight, that would be absolutely ideal, because you're seeing internet trouble here. We want to get Starlink so we can eliminate these internet problems. Buy as many tickets as you can, please. Head over to kevinjjohnston.me and mouse over the shop button. You'll see that 50-50 draw is the first option there. $10 each. That's all they are. Buy as many tickets as you like. And if you don't want to use your credit card on my website, no problem. Bottom right corner, use the email address for e-transfers at freedomreport.ca@gmail.com. So Stefanos, now let's talk about bylaw officers again in Canada. Some cities, they wear costumes. And in my hometown of Mississauga, they don't. They're all plain clothes idiots driving their own cars, you know, which is ridiculous because I've actually taken their license plate numbers down before whenever they were in my neighborhood. But if they approach your front door, I understand that legally they have the right to ring your doorbell, but
there's something called a right to approach a doorway to see if you're home. Yes.
Okay. You answer the door and they go, my name's Mr. Loser Homo, and here's my business card. You can then tell them to just get off your property without listening to them. Is that correct?
You do exactly what Pastor Arts did. Out! Out!
Out!
That's it.
Right. Gestapo out. Yes, you do that. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, you can be nice about it. You don't have to be a prick either. Unless they're being a prick, then you escort them firmly off the property. But you can tell them, I'm whoever, but step off my property. I'll talk to you to the side of the road and get them off your property. They can't stay on. And they have to comply with you. They have to get off your property, get to the side of the road. And then at that point, you just tell them, I'm not going to discuss anything with you. I'm going to contact my lawyer, and you can kindly turn around and leave. But if you put some sort of barrier at the entrance of your property, the natural entrance, so your driveway, you don't need a fence going around. You can put two pails and a 2x4 across it. They cannot cross that barrier. Once there is a barrier at the natural entrance of your property, then that right to approach a doorway is taken away. They cannot go over, under, or around that property, onto the property around that barrier.
All right. Well, that's also good to know. Wonderful. All right. If the bylaw officer refuses to leave, what do you do? Thank you, Dan, for grabbing a ticket. I do appreciate that. You're going in the bin for tonight's draw. Thank you very much, Dan. What do you, if the bylaw officer decides they have authority, and no matter how rude you are, if the message is to please leave my property or get the mother off my effing property, if it's that, and they get their back up and say, well, I'm not leaving this front porch, now what?
Well, there's two steps you can take. One is you would phone the police, tell them you have a trespasser there, will not leave the property, and, let them tell them that they're right there. Now, they'll be arrogant. They won't leave, but they'll be stupid. They'll have to leave. Now, remember, as a private property owner, under the Ontario Trespass to Property Act, you may use reasonable force to remove somebody from the property. And I'm not talking beat the living piss out of them. Grab them and escort them off nicely. You don't have to, you don't have to use force and beat them. Put your hand on their back and say, come on, let's go, and take them off. Now, if they resist or attack you, you have, again, every right to defend yourself, to repel that attack, and to, again, remove them from the property, which I wouldn't suggest going to that extreme, at least unless you are attacked by them, because they have no right to attack you or use any force against you whatsoever. Now, Kevin, John Borasso, I hope I said that right. I didn't butcher it too bad. He brings up a real good point here. He says cops have duties, not rights. Now, you're absolutely correct. Police have no rights to privacy or any public servant, period, while they're at work. So privacy doesn't apply to them. And not only that, they have duties, correct? And this duty is not to a private person. Now, there's several constitutional cases, and it's set in stone, not only here in Canada, but also in the U.S. Police owe no duty to a private person. The duty that police owe is to the level of government that hires them. They are to protect their interest, not yours. So the police, by law, don't even need to act. You could be getting the piss knocked out of you or murdered in front of them. They're not required to act.
So this brings back memories, around June 20th, 2019, when Antifa literally beat the shit out of Jack. They bricked him in the back of the head. They're trying to kill him. I got kicked in the back by Antifa on a public sidewalk, and there was 20 cops watching this happen, and the cops never bothered to do anything. While these punks were trying to kill.
Uh-oh, they both go down again? So here, let me give you a better example. I know where Ed's going with this one. That was with the elderly guy, the senior.
I don't believe this.
There we go. Back, Ed? There you go.
Yeah, we're back. Anyways, we're back to the police station.
Okay, I guess they're not back. So what he was saying, he went to the police station and filed reports and everything because it was literally attempted murder or assault with a weapon at most, because it was a brick they threw at his head. Right, Ed? Oh, I thought he was back. And they wouldn't act. They wouldn't do anything because they're not required to. And another great example is when John Tory was the mayor of Toronto. He had ordered all the Antifa and everyone to go and attack these people that he called hate mongers. Now, the police caged all the protesters in a cage, and they let Antifa do anything around everywhere. And so what if they attacked you? They're not required to act because they're their overlord, John Tory, had ordered them not to do anything. We're seeing this with Menzies. We're seeing this with the Palestine protests, the Israel stuff, and all this crap. So this is why you're seeing this happen, because they've been told not to do anything.
So what rights do I have if I'm being corralled, or if I got Antifa surrounding me and they won't let me move, and they're yelling at me and screaming at me, and I want to walk down the sidewalk, public sidewalk? What can I do?
Well, if the police are corralling you in the cages like they were doing in Toronto, that would be instantly a constitutional challenge to what they've done. Sue them under that for interfering with your mobility rights. That's public property. It's everyone's property. It's the people's property. So, and if you try to walk down the sidewalk and you get attacked, well, you're going to have to defend yourself. That's plain and simple. And if the police decide they're going to arrest you instead of the ones who attack you first, that's on you to prove that right through the courts. And you have to go through the courts and then sue after.
Well, people, looks like we're going to have to get busy suing, aren't we?
That's exactly what they do, Ed. You see it over and over. How many people have anti-hate sued? How many people
Hey, we have a good question here, Stephanos. Rusty is asking me, what if you're female and don't have the physical strength to remove these loser scumbag bylaw officers from your property? What do you, aside from calling the police, what do you do? Can you pepper spray them? Can you bear spray them?
No, you can't. You can't go use any type of weapon at that point. It would be, you would end up getting arrested for using too much force. That wouldn't be a reasonable amount of force. That would be overkill. So you wouldn't want to do something like that. You would go lock yourself in your home, get on the police, dial 911, tell them you're a single female, you're alone, you're afraid, there's a guy there, you've asked him to leave, he won't leave, you have no idea who the hell they are, and the police will come fast.
Excellent. Now, I guess last question I have on that particular issue here is, let's just say, for argument's sake, that you can buy pepper spray or bear spray in bulk, like a 55-gallon drum full of bear spray and pepper spray, and you have bear spray nozzles that are above your door spraying outwards, just
don't do that, people. That would be the end of you again. You would get arrested. You can't booby trap your property. You can't you can't do anything like that. Again, that would be excessive force, and it would also be an assault with a weapon. So you can't do any of that. That's way too funny. So let's see, are they going to make it back, or do I have to ride us out here? So now, I don't know, we only got about a half hour left. So the half hour being left would be a good thing to explain a little bit more on the Municipal Act, on how that works, and how we began all of this conversation with person, definition of a person. So right in the Municipal Act on Section 9, it says that they are recognized as a natural person. Kind of funny how 8th edition definition of person is actually that, a natural person. So you start to see now how this ties in to the municipalities and having no authority on your property, because a natural person is no different than you or me. So they have no more or less authority than you or I do. And then you go through sections 10 and 11, depending if it's single tier or dual tier, it has to be their assets, its assets. The key word is its. So that shows ownership of their property. Private property is not their private their property, only public. So,
yes. And for those who are curious, yes, I'm livid. I'm absolutely livid. I'll tell you why, actually. My TikTok audience has become big enough that we can make about anywhere between $5 and $50 per live transmission. And when the power flickers, Stephanos, You can see in the top right corner on TikTok, whenever you're watching it, you can see how many people are watching it that exact second. They time it. And it's like,
No, Kevin's computer's freezing.
No.
Yes.
Damn. So, Ed, while you guys were taking a vacation, I brought up the Black's Law Dictionary of the definition of a person. Now, in there, remember, it said a natural person. If you pull up the Municipal Act and you go to Section 9 of it, you'll see it states that powers of a natural person. That is what number 9 is. Rights, powers, capacity, privileges of a natural person for the purpose of exercising its authority under this or any other act. So where's their authority? Its authority? That's on property or assets that they own. So, and it's the powers of a natural person. That's no different than you or me. We are natural people. I can't tell you what to do on your property. They can't do that either. And this is why it's called powers of a natural person. And then they go broad authority, single tier, dual tier. So
this is under the provincial offenses or provincial?
No, this is the Ontario Municipal Act. This is what governs the municipalities. This is where they get their legislative authority to exercise their powers on their property, their assets.
Kevin, are you back? Or are you going to just go?
This would actually be the wrongest possible time for anyone to get on my nerves. Like this is me livid beyond reproach. Can you tell? Nope. And the truth is you can't. And I deliberately have learned how to stay calm in situations like this. And honestly speaking, I'd rather get punched in the face and kicked in the balls than have this ridiculous internet issue that we're having now.
Anyways, we're talking about the Municipal Act. Mm-hmm. And how municipalities get their authority through provincial legislation.
Yeah.
The Ontario Municipal Act. That's where they get their authority.
Now, does the province need to get authority through the feds?
No. So in the divisions of power, what happens is all land issues are federal, and then municipalities are creatures of the province. So the province creates the municipalities and they are subservient to the province. So they cannot supersede provincial or federal legislation or an instrument of the crown, which would be your crown land patent grant. They are the bottom feeders, the absolute dung eaters at the bottom of the river, like a catfisher, right? They eat all the garbage off the bottom. They cannot do anything. And Kevin, that case I gave you with the Canada Post in the city of Hamilton, I believe it was, that ruling there says that. And we have the limitations on municipalities in Section 14.1 that strictly forbids a municipality from interfering. That's the conflict between bylaw and statutes, because bylaws are regulatory, not legislative. And a lot of these municipal idiots think that their bylaws are legislative, which they're not. They're completely wrong. The courts have set that in stone, and that's it. So that's how they split the divisions of power. Now you get into zoning. There's, five different zonings that come from the federal government to the provincial government.
Let's see, all green
land. And then from the zoning there, the province grants municipalities to make subcategories of zoning so they can come up with special zonings for themselves. And so that's how that changed, you know, commercial, agricultural, and if they need to do some subtype of zoning, let's say for wind power or something. Oh, they're sleeping again. So that's how they do that anyways, everybody who's still watching. But that's how that goes. Now, so 14.1, restricts them from doing anything they shouldn't be doing. And if there's a bylaw that they come up with that interferes or supersedes their authority, or they've granted their own authority or in jurisdiction that they can't, then that means it's without effect. It's called ultra vires because it's no longer in their scope of jurisdiction.
Okay, so this is the Canada Post file.
All righty. I guess I'm, every time I start to talk, they come back, so I don't know when to stop or to keep going. So, see, there you go. I just have to talk and they come back.
Now, here's the Canada Post PDF. Well,
okay, so. So this case law, this ruling, Canada Post was put in the mailboxes where they wanted to put that, where they wanted to choose in Hamilton. And Hamilton's like, no, you can't do that. This is our municipality. Again, this is a classic case of idiots that are elected that don't read the Municipal Act. If they would have read it, they would have known Section 14.1 strictly forbids them from interfering with federal. And Canada Post is federal. So they tried to bring them to court. They tried to say, no, you're not going to do this. And they went to court. And if Kevin comes back and he can scroll down to where you'll see the interveners, you'll see that you'll notice on the interveners, one of them is the Canadian Federation of Municipalities. That is ICLEI. They just renamed themselves. So they sat on there because they're trying to push the agendas, trying to create chaos within our country and strip us of our sovereignty. So Canada Post won in the end because of 14.1 of the Municipal Act, which says a municipality cannot interfere with federal or provincial. And of course, Canada Post is federal. I believe that was in 2016. I might be wrong, but I think around that time somewhere.
All right. So I can't even share the screen anymore because the internet's so wonky. And yes, everyone, I am fed up with this whole experience. And just so that everyone understands, like, we have to try to raise $2,000 to be in this friggin' place, plus bills, plus the internet. So it's $3,000 to have internet like this. Got to have a little talk with the landlord tomorrow about this because this is absolutely unacceptable. Oh, and just so you know, Stephanos, is that I just got the notification because TikTok failed as a result of all this. So instead of making $50 on TikTok, I made 50 cents, literally 50 cents. So.
Oh, man, okay. That's terrible.
Yeah. So how do we pay rent if this guy won't let us pay him rent? Like, that's really how I have to look at this whole thing. You are getting in my way. But this is Costa Rica, so the laws are different here. We'll have to do something about that afterwards. In the meantime, getting back to this, bylaw officers, I'm going to make my concluding statements now because I think that we're going to have this trouble for the rest of the night. The concluding statement is that bylaw officers have no authority. People who work for the Canada Revenue Agency have no authority. These are not police agencies. They cannot enter your property. Canada Revenue Agency, for example, everybody, cannot go to your house and walk in the front door and take your stuff. So all of you have got to just start standing up for yourselves and get a bit tougher out there. When someone rings the doorbell, if you don't recognize them, what are you wasting your time even talking to people for? This is not the 1970s or 1980s when kids would go to the door, ding dong, can Bobby come out and play?
So while Bobby's playing, knowledge. You need to pay attention to what's happening in your municipalities. You need to know your municipal acts in whatever municipality you live in. This is how you stand up to these guys. You learn things. Bylaws, Kevin said, that were just dressed up as normal every day, they can't do that. They have a uniform they have to wear, and they have to also have their identification around their necks. So
it's called a costume, not a uniform. Just, I got to be clear on that. It's like Halloween. It's pretend. It's make-believe. It's not real. Not one bit. So man up and get tough, everybody. If you don't recognize someone at the door, they're trying to sell you something. It's not like it's a friendly neighbor coming over to say, hi, I just baked sourdough bread and I barbecued steak and I've made you a sourdough bread and steak sandwich. That's not how it is. Now, and if it's some really super good looking chick, guys, do you think this is some good looking chick that's going to say, hey, big boy, I saw you at the bus stop yesterday and I think it's really hot that you ride the bus. So I'm.
Forget the bus, guys. Get a pogo stick. It's quicker. You can cover more ground in one hop. But
if it's somebody in a costume, like a police costume or a bylaw costume or anything else, they don't have the authority to come inside your house. Do not answer the door. Now, the other thing I want to factor in is that it's fortunately been made illegal in Canada. But if you all remember this ridiculous
Ed, are you there? Ed's usually there. Kevin's always disappearing, but I don't think Ed's even there. I think they're just both going down now. So, there's also another case, and it was the Moyer case. It's a very, very good case because a municipality went and Moyer was a bit of a shit disturber like me. Are you gonna say something, Kevin? I can pause. Okay, you can pause too. So Moyer was a bit of a shit disturber. They didn't like his messy yard. Now a lot of people
don't know this. I gotta end this transmission. I'm telling. I can't get through a goddamn sentence.
Kevin, is that a giant coffee cup in your hand?
Okay, can you see me?
Yeah, I see you now. Yeah, now you're moving. What? Not anymore. Dear Lord.
Okay, that's it. I've already drawn the winner, okay? Like, I can't do this. I'm shutting this shit off. I'm going to deal with this, okay? So I want to say my sincerest congratulations to David Monroe. David Monroe, you have won the cash prize tonight. I'm going to email you right after the show. I'm so sorry, everybody, about this. This is fucking bullshit, and I'm pissed off beyond belief right now. And I'm out of here, okay? And I'm going to go deal with this now, probably with a hammer and that device out there. But I will solve this problem, everybody. I'm not going to have internet trouble after today. All right. I love you all. I want to say thank you very much for being here. We really do apologize that this is bullshit internet here. There's nothing more I can do. Steph, we're going to have to pick this up. We're going to finish this next week because I do want to talk about the rights, all the rights you have to eliminate these maniacs from your personal lives. Thanks for being here, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate that, man. Cheers, everybody. Good night.